Hey everybody, thank you so much for coming out today as we look at five stones, how to slay your giant goals. I'm super excited about this content because it's what I'm doing. It's not one of those deals where somebody's just trying to put something up so that you will feel like you got something, right? I think we've all attended things like that. But these are the stones that I'm using in my own personal goal setting, things to keep me focused and on fire. And I think we all wrestle with that. We all get overcome. We all get to points in our life where we feel like, you know, why did I start pursuing this? Am I going to be able to reach the goal, etc.? So we'll be looking at some reasons why we don't achieve our goals. We'll look at some ways to stay focused and on fire through the completion of our goals and even setting those correctly. I think all of that is super important. So I was sitting down with one of my buddies last week, and he was going through this exact process and had so many interesting thoughts and concepts as he talked about his milestones and cornerstones and these other stones we're going to look at today. And it really pumped me up even more about everything that I'm working on. And I know that this material is going to help you guys as well. Be able to take what you're wanting to do or what you're actually working on right now and take it to the next level and even a higher level. Most of you probably know the story of David and Goliath. And David at the time was probably a teenager when he went to war against Goliath. No armor or anything, but he did have his five smooth stones that he picked up. And he had his sling that he was skilled with. It wasn't like he showed up to battle and didn't have any background whatsoever. He had already killed a lion. He had killed a bear. So he had some of the skill set. And the truth is, when it comes to our own goals and our own life and our own direction, we've got a skill set that we want to pull from or that we want to grow to make sure that we're going to achieve those goals. Most of the time when we set a goal or we desire a certain result in our life, what we tend to do is just put it down without extra thought. We think, well, I want to attain this without actually concentrating and saying, do I actually have the ability to attain this? Do I have the background essential to attain this? Or can I get the training that I need to attain this? And so that's a big aspect of us reaching the goals and destroying the giants, slaying the giants, is that we are aligning ourselves in the right way to the things that we need to do, should be doing, and actually have the capability to do. That doesn't mean that we don't set giant goals, enormous goals, lofty goals, but instead as we set those up and as we plan on those, that we take everything into consideration. Most of the time, we set goals very lightly in that we believe, because we've been taught, that we can achieve anything. We kind of go in with the mindset of, I'll set up a goal, I'll do the steps, and boom, I'll make it. But there are so many things that are at play against us, so many things that can go wrong, and so many things that do go wrong. And we'll look at a lot of those during the presentation today. Here's the brutal truth about goals and about life in general. We all fail. All of us do. We all set goals that we don't pull through with all the way. In fact, let me take just a quick little poll here. At the top of your screen, you'll see a guy that has his hand up. Click that guy if you've ever set a goal and did not finish it. You did not accomplish it. All right. Hands going up like crazy. We've all done that. See, we're all in the same boat with this. And I think that what happens when it comes to setting goals, most of us feel like we're just going to attain it. Instead of thinking, I better make sure that I've got everything in play and in place to make sure that I actually attain it. Because we are up against a lot that can end up sidetracking us, knocking us out, and really pulling us way off course. And so I'm not saying this to be negative at all, but to be a realist and say we all fail. So when you look at past goal setting and you feel like, wow, you know what? I didn't accomplish that much, or I didn't get to where I wanted to go. I'm a failure. Understand that you're in good company when it comes to failing. We all do. And it's actually part of our process. And even when we attain a goal, we failed somewhere along the way in the attainment of that goal, unless it was something so simple, so quick, so easy that we did it in 5 minutes. But anything that has length, anything that's a week long, a month long, a year long, or a lifetime long, we are going to have moments of failure as we are trying to reach that goal. it's rare, if not impossible, to go from point A to the completion of point B, whatever it is, and not have some failure somewhere along the way, because everything just does not go like we planned. So what are the real reasons for failing? We're going to look at three that we all hit, and then we're going to hit the number one reason why most of us fail at our goals. And even with the number one, I don't know that we can overcome it completely, but we can get some processes in place to help us move in the direction that is going to put us in the frame of mind and have the attitude that is necessary to reach the end of the goal, especially if they're lofty and if they're big. So number one, most of us fail at our goals, and this isn't simply along the way, but we end up quitting a goal simply because we get distracted. So that we have in our mind something that we really want to do, we're excited about it to begin with, and then the excitement wanes, or we see something else that we're interested in, or we simply want to get distracted because it gives us an excuse to not complete. So let's say that I'm writing an article for my blog, and I hear that notification that goes off on Facebook, and like Pavlov's dog, I hop over there to find out if somebody messaged me or if somebody liked one of my posts or made a comment. You know, that's a distraction that's completely unnecessary, but it can lead to momentary failure because I did not stay true to the goal of that particular time or the step at that particular time. Life itself can be a distraction. And sometimes we just can't help that. Sometimes things go wrong. We've got unexpected and unwanted events that enter our life. It distracts us from our goal, and sometimes we never get back to it. Sometimes our distraction can be super simple, seeing that we thought about, you know, making it all the way home for that good meal after the gym, but on the way back, we realize that we forgot to go to the grocery store. And I just so happened to be right by Dunkin' Donuts. And sure, they've got something in there that has an egg white on it that sounds healthy. But, you know, the truth is, if I just eat one donut or perhaps a half dozen, it won't completely kill me. You know, that's a distraction, right? It pulled me away from my goal. And when we hit stone number four, we're going to be concentrating on the distractions to make sure that we know about them ahead of time. Most of the time, we don't think about that at all. Secondly, is just discouragement. I've had so many things in my life that in my mind, I saw how it was going to go. And then when I got in the middle of it, I realized it was a lot harder than I thought, or that the result did not end up matching what was in my brain at the beginning. And so I ended up getting discouraged, feeling like, why did I even set this goal? Why did I even pursue this? Why did I even want to do this? Back in 1990, I opened a fitness center, a gym. 1990, that sounds weird to even say, right? I was 20 years old at the time, right around 2018. And about 18 years old, I was opening a gym with a buddy of mine. And I remember us staying up for 3 days straight to get this gym open. And we opened on January the 1st. And about 4 a.m., we were open at 6 a.m. At 4 a.m., I went into this just darkness thinking, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Now, why did I feel that way? We had a major financial investment. The gym did not look the way that we really wanted it to look for the opening day. We didn't know anybody would show up, even though it was January 1. And we had not had any sleep for days. And so emotionally, we were not in a positive place. So that discouragement of reaching the goal of opening the gym almost capsized us 2 hours out. So we all face that. It's not new when you feel discouraged. It's not happening just to you when you feel like you can't go on. We all feel that way, and we've all been there. Number three is discipline. And I'm going to do an opposite poll. Usually I say raise your hand if you are not disciplined. I want you to raise your hand if you are disciplined. You can say, I'm a disciplined person. I don't really struggle with discipline. All right, we have just a handful of hands. It's not many at all. So most of us do struggle with discipline, with staying true and staying focused. Now, those who are blessed with the ability just to stay focused, it makes it so much easier to reach goals, but it doesn't mean that you're immune from discouragement or immune from distraction. Now, those of us who get hit by distraction and discouragement, often it's because we don't have the discipline to keep going. We're not able to remain focused. We give ourselves out. We give ourselves permission to stop. We allow ourselves to not do everything that we need to do the way that we need to do it. So we've got to stay a lot more focused with that. Now, discipline's a little bit harder because if it's not your natural inclination, you've got to manipulate yourself and you've got to use some tricks to stay disciplined and to stay focused. And I'll share some of those with you today as well. And then the number one reason why most of us fail at our goals. The number one reason most of us fail at our goals. It's a lack of desperation. Most of the goals that we set, we don't have to have those. We don't have to accomplish that. It's not critical if I lose 20 pounds. It's really not. I'd like it. I want it. But it's not critical to me. It's not a gun to the head type of scenario. So there's a lack of desperation here. So when it comes to our goal setting, one of the things that we've got to come to grips with is that we quit because nothing happens to us if we do quit. And sometimes nothing really happens if we actually gain the goal all the way. You know, we are envisioning all that, we're planning on all that, but because it doesn't have to happen for our life to continue, often we just give up super easy. We're not desperate. Those of us who live in America, even if we feel like we've been through some financial crisis recently, we're not always desperate to do whatever it takes to reach our goal. Now, here's the truth. I wouldn't mind making some more money, but I'm probably not going to go out and deliver pizzas at night to do that. Why? Because I would like more money, but I'm not desperate for more money, right? So I would like to lose 20 pounds, but I'm not desperate to lose 20 pounds. Now, every goal that we set can't be a complete act of desperation, right? But we do need to tie into some of the thoughts and the processes and the focuses of desperation if we're really going to attain that goal. Something really needs to be on the line to keep us going. Otherwise, we've made some wishes and we've had some dreams and we've come up with some neat ideas and some nice ideas. And then if it is desperate, then we've got to make sure that we have that plan that will allow that to happen. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've had somebody say to me, you know what? I've got to make some money. I've got to make money in the next 6 months. And I'll say, how much money do you want to make? And they will say, I want to make at least $100,000 in the next 6 months. And I'll go, okay, well, what's your plan for that? Well, I don't actually have a plan, but I know it's possible, all right? So there's got to be more than that in play. There's got to be more than that in place, that there's got to be an alignment between the desperation and the ability to actually achieve the goal that we set. And today we're going to look at five stones that will help us achieve our goals. Two of these stones, stone number one and stone number three, you're super familiar with. It's part of almost every single goal setting program on the planet. When it comes to stones number two, number four, and number five, I think these are components you've probably seen before, but may not have used completely in a goal setting system and plan. So the five stones are, number one is your milestone. Number two is your cornerstone. Number three are your stepping stones. Number four are tombstones. And number five are firestones. So we'll use all five of these to complete our goal setting program so that we will at least raise our chances, increase our chances of attaining whatever goal we set. So stone number one is the milestone, and it is the destination. This is where we want to go. Here's where I am, and there is where I want to be. Here's where I am, weighing 100 and X pounds. You thought I'd reveal it. No. Where do I want to be, weighing 100 and X pounds, maybe even 100 and X pounds less? That'd be too much. But I want to be at least 20 pounds less. All right. So there's my destination. It's super simple. So the milestone is the destination. Now, some people will tell you it has to be specific, and I think that's fine. It can be broad, and I think that that's fine as well. I think the real key is that we're able to envision ourselves reaching the destination, that we can see clearly, if it's a weight loss goal, we can see clearly what we look like physically when we reach that goal. But don't become married to that, because chances are high that when you get to the end of the road, your body is not going to match that identically. So we're just trying to envision something. If you want to make a certain amount of money, you need to be able to see that in your bank account. If you want to improve the relationships in your life, you need to be able to see yourselves taking steps to improve the relationship. And listen, that's one that's tough, right? Because you can only control yourself. You can't control the other person and whether or not they change in the process. People will tell you all the time, well, if you'll be nice to other people, they'll be nice to you. That's not necessarily true, because I don't know how that other person's going to do, right? So my milestone has to be a much more dependent on me. So I might say something like, I want to run a half marathon, could be a milestone. Another could be lose 10 pounds, or as I've been saying, 20 pounds. Or pay off X amount of debt. So these are milestones. They can be specific, like lose 10 pounds, or I could simply say that my milestone is that I want to create a healthy lifestyle. You've got to create your own milestone, your own goal setting phrase that helps you envision what you're wanting to accomplish. And that'll give you a good visual for that, and it'll give you a good place to go back and review every single day so that you can refresh yourself with what you're wanting to attain. So the question about the milestone is this temporary or permanent? Is it temporary or permanent? One of the things that I've never really enjoyed about traditional goal setting is that there was always a finish line. But the truth is, with every goal, there's not necessarily a finish line. You know, I put down that I wanted to run a half marathon. What if I simply want to become a runner? And this is now going to be my permanent decision. Said I want to lose 20 pounds. What if I simply want to start a healthy lifestyle? And that's permanent. It's not temporary. So it's going to be a little bit of a different goal setting process, but I've got to have that in my mind ahead of time so that I can plan accordingly. Now, my milestone could be certain components of this healthy lifestyle. So it could be that in the first month, for the first time in my life, I eat a vegetable. That could be my actual first step here, but it allowed me to reach my goal and start moving forward. Is there a deadline? If so, if it's temporary especially, it's going to be a deadline. If so, make it immovable. If you're going to write down a deadline for your milestone, make it immovable. But don't be general in your deadline. I don't mind you being general in your milestone, but don't be general in your deadline. Make it immovable. A few years ago, I actually ran a half marathon. I think it was about a year and a half ago now, and it was an immovable deadline. I wasn't really in the best condition when I went to run it, but I couldn't call up the race promoters and said, hey guys, want to let you know, training didn't go as well as I'd planned, and gonna need to move the date. Let's push that back a couple of months. It was no way. Why? Because it was their deadline and it was immovable. As you select your milestone, if there is a deadline involved, make it immovable. And there should be no options unless something enters your life that is so tragic that it forces the move. Otherwise, if we get in the habit of moving our deadlines, then number one, they're not a deadline at all. And number two, it gives us a constant excuse to do what we want and when we want. So with your milestone, determine if it's temporary or determine if it's permanent. If there is going to be a temporary goal, make sure that you set that immovable deadline. Next, what is the stone level of difficulty? What's the stone level of difficulty? I think this is an area that we tend not to think about very much. Just like I've said pretty nonchalantly, I want to lose 20 pounds. So let's say that I want to do that in 2 months. And now given my background, my experience, and my heritage in fitness, I could do that. But it would be tough. Now if I was to do it over 6 months, it would be easy. So let's say that one stone is easy, 5 stones is hard, if not almost impossible. It's a really struggle. So 2 months would be 4 stones for me, and 6 months would be 1 stone for me. It'd be basically nothing to it. But the truth is, that for me to stay focused for 6 months is a lot harder than me staying focused for 2 months. And that's probably true of most of us. So consider the length of time as well. Here's some things to consider when you're looking at the stones. And when you use the handout that I gave you, and it's also on the members page, then when you select your milestone, I want you to actually rate it according to the stones of difficulty that you believe it will be. So involved in this is your knowledge, your skill, length of time it's going to take to accomplish, your experience or background, and the effort required. So I can use myself as an example for the 20 pounds. Knowledge-wise, I've already got that. I'm not going to have to go out and look at that. Skill-wise, I've already got the skill set. I know how to exercise. I know how to run. I know what my body reacts to. Length of time, 2 months is going to be about 3 to 4 stones of me being able to actually concentrate. 6 months would be close to 5 stones because in my mind, I would be thinking, you know what? I could do this in 2 months. So I could probably play for 4 months and then really crank it up the last two. You know, we've got to know these mental battles that will come up against us. So length of time, experience. Again, with fitness, I can say, all right, I've got the experience. I used to be involved in bodybuilding, powerlifting. I know how my body reacts. And then effort required. Given my metabolism at this age of life, my effort's probably going to be about a level 3. Whereas 15 years ago, it was going to be 1 stone and that was it. So that's with the fitness area. If I decided to learn something brand new, let's say that my goal is to learn a new language. So my knowledge is non-existent, it's 5 stones. My skill at learning a new language, I did take like 1 semester of Spanish in high school and that was it. So my skill level is also almost non-existent. So there's 4.5 stones there. The length of time that it's going to take me, because I don't think that I'm a natural linguist. I know that's hard to believe, given my incredible ability to master the English language and speak it with perfect diction. But I would say length of time is probably 4 stones on that, even though I think that I understand concepts really well and I've got a good memory, but I think that it would take me a while. Experience when it comes to learning a language, almost non-existent, probably 5 stones there, and effort required, probably 5 stones as well. And if I'm using a software, this is going to be one of the hardest goals that I personally can set given my background. So with each one of your milestones, think about where you are and then judge it 1 to 5 stones on knowledge, skill, length of time, experience, and effort required, and then give it an overall number. So running a half marathon for me is probably going to be close to 3 stones. A big part of that battle actually is me getting out the door every day to actually do the training. But I'll give you some secrets behind that in just a few minutes. So your milestone overall is your destination. We usually just call this our goal. But I think you can see that using a measurement system, which most of us don't. Most of us say, hey, I want to learn language. But we don't think about the level of difficulty. Hey, I want to run a marathon. What's the level of difficulty? Hey, I want to lose weight. What's the level of difficulty? Hey, I want to get a degree. What's the level of difficulty? Hey, I want to make $100,000. What's the level of difficulty? So we've got to, I want to pay off $10,000 worth of debt. What's the level of difficulty? So we've got to ask those questions so that it will prepare our mind for the effort that is going to be required if we're going to actually reach this goal. Your cornerstone, this is the anchored essential. Often we'll call this our why. And I've seen this a lot online since the beginning of the year, people saying, you've got to know your why. You've got to know the reason behind this. Why do you want to attain this goal? Why did you set this milestone? To me, it is a statement of pain and or pleasure that anchors you to the essential reason for the milestone. The more desperate, the better. So this is going to be a statement that you'll actually write out for each milestone, that this is your actual reason for wanting this or having to attain this. So let's look at a principle here. Why does this milestone have to happen? That's the real question. Why does this milestone have to happen? Now, there are a lot of people who will tell you everything has to be positive. Everything kind of has to be pie in the sky. Everything has to be, you know, this positive energy for you to go out and attain a goal. I don't necessarily believe that, because I think that most of us have spent more of our life trying to avoid the negative than actually capture the positive. We're a lot more afraid of negative scenarios and negative things happening in our life than simply pursuing positive things and bringing happiness and positivity into our life. Almost all of us are wired that way simply by nature. So why does this milestone have to happen? Now, again, every milestone can't be this way, but what if we set our goals on things that we felt like if we didn't do this, then we didn't fulfill our purpose or we felt incomplete? I do this, I mention this topic a lot when I'm doing public speaker training. People say, I don't know what to talk about. Which I'm like, well, if you don't know what to talk about, I'm not sure you really want to be a speaker. But if you're wanting to speak, what is that message that you feel like an audience must hear? For two reasons. Number one, you will feel incomplete if the audience does not hear the message. And number two, you know the audience is incomplete if they don't hear the message. So part of it is internal and part of it's external, right? Well, for us and our goals, most of the time it's going to be internal and maybe a little bit of a mix of external. So if I was to talk about weight loss, well, the truth is, if I would do this, why does this have to happen? Well, I'm going to feel better. Obviously, I'll be healthier. I won't be as embarrassed. I won't be so sick when I look in the mirror. My scale won't yell at me every time that I get on it. I can shop in the boys and the men's department because of my height. But because of my weight right now, I basically have to shop in the men's department. So things along those lines. So why does this milestone actually have to happen? Here's a negative statement. I have plenty of health issues. And this isn't true about me, but I thought I'd write something that I felt like would be a pre-negative or desperate situation. I have plenty of health issues, can't breathe at night without a machine. I literally wake up at night afraid I'm dying. My weight is embarrassing. You know, if I had that statement to look at every day, that if I said I've got to lose X amount of pounds, and I literally woke up at night afraid I was dying, that's a solid cornerstone because I feel like it's essential. I feel like I've actually got to go and do this. Because my life is literally on the line. So what's on the line for us if we don't attain this goal? And this, again, could be stoned. It could be a level 1 to a level 5. You know, if I decide that I want to learn Spanish because I go down to Mexico a couple of times a year to an orphanage, and I'd really love to be able to communicate with the children there. I would love it. But if I don't do it, what happens? I just use somebody there that speaks English and Spanish. It's really not a risk to me to go down. There's plenty of people on the island that I go to that speak it. So speak, they're bilingual. So it's not a big challenge, right? So it's not really heavy enough for me. That's really just a one stone or a two stone cornerstone. Whereas if my sponsor child spoke no English and there was no one there, and the only way that I could actually communicate with Jose, the only way was for me to learn Spanish. Well, now I'm at a level 4, level 5 cornerstone because it's going to really, I'm not going to be able to sleep. It's going to bother me that I'm not attaining that goal. So with our cornerstone, how essential is it? Now, this one is lighter and more positive. If I was to say, I am a machine, for the past 5 years, I've said I wanted to run a half and never have. This is a promise I'm making to myself and using Facebook to keep me accountable. It's a light statement, but if I was to look at that every day, or even if I was to say an every day on Facebook, I'm going to post my accomplishment for that day or my miles for that day. I guarantee you that if I missed a day, somebody would come up and say something to me about it, right? So this is more of a positive cornerstone, but it's an anchored essential. It is a statement of a reason why you must attain this goal. Most of us sit down, set our milestones simply because it's something that we want to do, but it's not something that we have to do. A have to is a total level 5 stone, and a want to may just be one stone, and it's not essential. And that makes it pretty easy to quit as well. Remember, the number one reason we quit is because we're not desperate. So our cornerstone needs to have a little bit of that desperation in it. Then our stepping stones. Now, this is something else that most of us do. We actually come up with a plan or a strategy to accomplish our goal. And that is pretty much essential. It's not just going to happen. Most of us need to sit down and actually plan out our steps. So it needs to be detailed and it does need to be daily. Sometimes I go back and forth with this because we can get in the planning mode so much and detail it so much that if we don't do every single little thing that we planned, that we can get discouraged and we can feel like, well, you know what, I'm a total failure. I didn't do everything that I wanted to do. But I think the more detailed we are, the easier it's going to be for us. When I say that I'm going to eat healthy and that's it, I'll do okay that day. But the days that I really rock it is when I say I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and work out, coming back and take a protein drink at 7 a.m. At 9 a.m., I'm going to eat 3 eggs, 2 egg whites, and 1 yolk included. At noon, I'm going to have 2 chicken breasts and some broccoli. At 3, I'm going to take another protein drink. And at 6, I'm going to have 6 ounces of salmon and a half a cup of rice. Now, if I'll write that down, be that detailed about it, chances are pretty high I will accomplish that. If I think in my mind I need protein and light carbohydrates, once I get to the kitchen and I look in the pantry and I see all those other available options there that are not as healthy, weakness can overcome me in a heartbeat. So actually having that plan makes a big, big difference. The more detailed the plan, the better, and the more daily the plan, the better. So this is when I trained for my half marathon. Now, I hate to be so doggone impressive, but in June 2011, I ran, yes, 2011, this is some old documentation, I ran 6 miles for the month, cumulative, and that was not at one time. July, went nuts, went crazy, 9.5 miles. August was when the thought occurred that I'm going to run a half marathon. A buddy of mine called me and said, hey, let's run this half marathon. And it was going to be in October, October the 4th. All right, half marathon, October the 4th. I'm showing you all of my running just about for my entire life right here. So then in August, I did 28 miles. In September, I did 72.75 miles. There's true stepping stones there. But we were, I think, 6 weeks out when we decided to do this half marathon. So I'm in a panic, right? Because I just done 6 miles in June and not even 10 miles in July, cumulative. I knew that I was going to need a plan, or there could be death involved. You see, desperation was involved in this half marathon. If I had 6 months to train, that was one thing. But 6 weeks to train, somebody could have died. So I went online, I looked up half marathon training program, and this program's still sticking up on my wall. I've got it taped to my wall right here by my monitor. It's reminding me that one day I'll go back out. Half marathon training program. I did not go into research mode because I didn't have time. I didn't go out and buy 10 books like I usually do. I typed in half marathon training, and this is what came up. It's what I printed out. I never looked at another plan. I did not get distracted because my time was limited. 6 weeks, a shorter time frame, limited distraction. Now, I did get discouraged on some days, especially when we got down to week 8 and I only had 6 weeks left. So I started later. I didn't start. I started almost halfway through. And when that 10-mile run on that Saturday, it was super discouraging. I thought, I may pass out. And they call them the balloon ladies in our area. The balloon ladies are the people all the way in the back that hold balloons. And if you're behind them, the only thing behind the balloon ladies is like the ambulance. And so I pictured myself at getting like run over by the balloon ladies on the 10-mile day, because I thought, man, I'm going to die. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. But I followed this plan, and that was it. I didn't follow 15 different plans. I didn't get distracted by research. I didn't go out and get the next bright, shiny object. I did one plan, and that was it. Is this the best plan? No clue. Some of you that are runners are looking at that and going, boy, that wasn't a wise plan at all. But I didn't know any different. I didn't know any better. But it worked for me because I followed the plan instead of just going out there and kind of jogging around the block, hoping I got enough good shape. So you need a proven plan. You don't even need the proven plan. You simply need a proven plan that covers where you are now and goes to where you want to be. Now, if you're following an individual, make sure that they've been where you are now and are even beyond where you want to be. I've got a good friend at church that is thin, perpetually thin. He can eat anything he wants, anytime he wants. If he had a weight loss program, I should not buy it from him because he doesn't really know what works because he's never been challenged by fat. So I don't need to follow him. I need to follow somebody that's been challenged, somebody who's been in the same condition that I am in now or worse and is in the condition that I want to get in or better. And I can learn from that person. Now, if it's something that's more mechanical, say that I want to put up a blog, you've got a goal is to start blogging. Well, you can go on Google or you can go to WordPress.tv and you can find every tutorial in the book on getting your blog set up, getting it installed, making your first post, etc. It's all out there. So that in that case, if it's mechanical, you don't have to follow a person necessarily. You just need tutorials. But the key is the tutorials start where you are now and finish where you want to be. And then secondly, it's really good if you have an accountability factor. Now, everybody's not wired this way, and not everybody needs straight accountability. But for most of us, we need someone to report to, or we need a checklist, or we need a punishment if we don't make the goal. So we need something that's in play that allows us to stay on track. And in general, it can be a person. Facebook is actually excellent if you're telling people keep you accountable because they will. People love to come and harass you. So don't be afraid at all of posting something out there thinking, well, people won't keep me accountable. Yes, they will. And in fact, the more you brag about you're going to accomplish something, the harder they will be on you if you don't do it. When I was running this half marathon, I announced it on Facebook. Had a lot of people right out of the gate, you know, like that and good luck, and it was all positive. Well, I knew then I had to do it. A couple of those people were actually on the race course that day. They weren't running, but they were at the very top of the worst hill of the 13 miles. And I remember going up that hill, and I thought, when I get to the top of this hill, I'm going to just throw up. I cannot wait to get to the top. I was literally excited about throwing up. And when I got to the top, I heard Teresa yell out, "You can make it, you can make it." And I thought, not going to be able to throw up. Had to keep going. That was a little bit of accountability right there. So whatever we're wanting to do, if we do announce that and we do have that accountability factor, it does help. But whether or not you need that, you need a proven plan that covers where you are now and goes to where you want to be. Next is our tombstones. Tombstones. And these are death traps, and we either need to kill or we're going to be killed. And that's super important for us to remember. So think about this half marathon or this weight loss that I want to accomplish. You know, I tend to plan in perfection. All right, let's go back to my little training program here. I looked at this initially and I thought, okay, 3 miles, 5 miles. All right, I can do that. 6 miles, I think I'll make six. 7 miles, that's going to be tough, but if I will do weeks 1 and 2, I think I can jump to week 4. And if I do week 4 pretty good, I think I can jump to week 7. Right? So in my mind, all of this seemed highly possible and highly plausible because we tend to plan in perfection. We don't tend to see the roadblocks. We don't tend to imagine the things that can derail us. We don't tend to think about discouragements. We don't tend to think about distractions. We don't tend to think about a lack of discipline, maybe a little bit, but in our mind, we think we can just push through. Think about the number of times you've said that. I'm just going to push through. And next thing you knew, you were holding a Twinkie. So what will kill me? What will kill me? So in my half marathon, weather, rain, cold, anything that was discomfort. My mom raised us. She said this a few weeks ago. I thought it was, or a few months ago, I thought it was pretty funny. She said, our whole family has always been focused on avoiding any possible suffering. You know, if this suffering was avoidable, we avoided it. We were not the type of people that just went, this is going to be tough, so let's just go do it. We're the type that says, hey, if it's raining and it's cold, I don't need to train. I could get sick. Okay, donuts and bacon and candy are all assassins. Not running as fast as I want. If you've got some experience in your background and you use that as some of your markers, and you don't reach that level, it can be super discouraging. If I remember when I was doing 7-minute miles and now I'm doing 13-minute miles, guess what? I'm discouraged. It could kill me. It can make me want to give up. My body hurting. My body does not recover as quick as it used to. It cannot do as much as it used to. It does not like doing things. It does not like running. It doesn't always like lifting. And so that can be an excuse. Oh, my knees are sore today. My hips sore today. Boredom. Honestly, I don't like to run. I don't like it. So it's boring to me. People will say, well, why don't you listen to music? Or why don't you do X, Y, and Z while you run? No matter what, it's really boring unless I'm actually running with another human being. And then this will also kill me. Nobody really cares. If I didn't make that goal of running a half marathon, there'd have been a couple of people that teased me. But by and large, nobody's life outside of mine would have changed. And they wouldn't have really cared. And that can really be an out for me. So here are some tombstones that I know need to be set up. I need to know that I've got to bury each of these. I've got to bury the weather. So somehow I've got to come up against the weather and say that's never going to bother me again. Somehow I've got to say I can ride by Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts, or I can get in the near a bacon factory or a candy and I'm going to make it. You know, what am I going to set up that is going to allow me to stay alive? So each one of these things, we need the list. So when you set your milestone, you make your cornerstone, you get your stepping stones, you still got to write down your tombstones. These are things that can really kill you. If you're trying to go after a goal that you've tried to pursue before, then you're going to have a list of these already. All you got to do is write down what killed you before. If it's new, it's going to be a little bit tougher. So just go on Google and type in the name of your goal and why people don't reach it, or why I quit. And you'll come up with some reasons that maybe you're not thinking about, because we tend to plan in perfection and we tend to think that we're not going to come up against something and it's all going to be smooth from start to finish. Now, deep down, we know that's not true. Deep down, we know that that's crazy talk, but we don't tend to plan that way or think that way ahead of time. So it's essential that we have the tombstones so that ahead of time we can know what we're going to face and we can move forward through it. And then our firestones. This is the fifth stone, our firestone. It's just passionate purpose. To me, it's a quote, an image, a song, or symbol that refocuses and re-energizes. Anything that we can put in front of us or inside of us that are quick triggers of realignment. Something we can look at or hear, maybe even smell or taste, so that we quickly get back on track. And we're going to need these for each and every milestone. It can be totally different. Some of these may overlap, but it could be different. So for me, I might have this: dead last finish is greater than did not finish, which trumps did not start. So when I'm thinking about that in my half marathon, I know I'm not competing with anybody in the half marathon. I was not worried a bit about where I finished. I was only worried that I finished. Now, I would use a different firestone if I was actually in the competition, but I guarantee you, the day that I showed up to run, nobody was concerned. Nobody looked over at this little boy and went, we got to run a little faster today. They probably looked over and went, hope he makes it. So dead last finish is greater than did not finish, which trumps did not start. No matter how slow you go, you're still lapping everybody on the couch. That kind of makes me happy to think about that. I mean, just even reading that made me feel like, you know, when I'm out running and I know that other folks are sitting on the couch eating their chips, I feel pretty good. I can get me moving. So just reading that, if I don't want to run, if I'm sitting inside and I'm thinking about doing nothing, I can read that. It gives me realignment, right? I don't diet. I just eat according to my goals. Remember Zig Ziglar in one of his recordings said when he was trying to lose weight that he would ask the question, would a lean boy eat that? Well, that's a great quote. It's a great firestone. You know, before every morsel goes in my mouth, if I was to say, would a lean boy eat that? It's a great question, right? It's a great realignment statement that helps me accomplish it. The more closely you can anchor the firestone in the senses, the more effective it will be. So often it's not enough just to have a nice quote, but we need to link that quote with something. So if I am using would a lean boy eat this, then I can associate that with my grilled chicken and my broccoli. And if I'm excited about eating that in that moment, it's a great time to link it. It's not a good time to anchor it if I'm not excited about plain grilled chicken and broccoli. I may have to say the statement, but it may not be the best time to anchor that statement. Any of us who listen to a lot of music can hear a song and we're immediately transported somewhere. I still remember songs from my teen years when I was working in a fitness center here in Montgomery. Still, every time I hear those songs, I remember where I was in the fitness center and who I was hanging out with. It's the way we're wired, right? So we need to use that as a catalyst to continue achievement with our goals, that we have that song or that statement or that quote or that symbol that realigns us. Notice that I used a symbol for every stone. So that when you see that on the worksheet, it'll help you align with the concepts of what you heard today. All right, here's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And regardless of what you think about old Arnie nowadays, I grew up with Arnold. He's older than me, but he was in his heyday in the mid-70s, and I started working out in the late 70s, 1970s. That's right. And I remember the first time I ever saw anything to do with bodybuilding. I was in a pack-a-sack, as we call them here in Alabama, in central Alabama, which if you don't know where that is, it was located, it's located right outside of Sandtuck, where I lived at the time. And I remember going in the pack-a-sack just to get me a RC Cola and a Moon Pie. And I looked up on the magazine shelf and I saw this giant bicep. And I was like, what in the world is that? And I pulled the magazine out and it was Arnold Schwarzenegger's bicep. Now think about what I just said. You want to talk about a firestone? I can tell you the exact moment when I saw a physically transformed individual for the very first time. Went home, told mom I wanted a weight set for Christmas, etc. So Arnold is a firestone for me. When I'm working out, when I'm in the gym a lot, then it's easy for me to use any of his sayings or any sort of motivational statement from him because it links me to the time in which I was the most healthy. So here it says, it's simple. If it jiggles, it's fat. I tell you right now, got lots of jiggling. So when I think about that and getting in shape, it's easy for Arnold, for me to be that firestone. And we all need that. We all need firestones to keep us focusing on fire. It's not a weakness. It's the way that our mind works, and it's the things that keep us motivated. So this can be things that we memorize, or it can be things that we simply trigger. Like I keep motivational statements on my phone, and when I feel like I'm not motivated, I'll scroll through those and read those, and they reactivate me. Because the time in which I saved those images was not when I was down. I saved those images when I was hyper, when I was up, and when I was productive. So I anchored those images in the moment in which I was the most on fire. So when you're running your best, anchor that song. When you're working out your hardest, anchor that quote. When you're the most productive on your blog, anchor that favorite author's saying that you love so much. Now, one of the ones that I love from Ryan Tracy is that successful people are concerned with pleasing methods, are pleasing results. Unsuccessful people are concerned with pleasing methods. So I'll remember that on days when it's hard, on days when I really don't want to do too much and I'm unmotivated, and I think, I think I'm just going to float today. I think, there's the unsuccessful person wants all this to be easy. They don't just want the result. They want getting to the result to be easy. Whereas successful people, they don't care how hard it is to get that positive result. They're willing to do it. So you got to have a list of your firestones. And fortunately, living in the age of Pinterest, they're easier to find than ever before. Or look through the playlist that you have on your phone. Pick out a couple of songs that you want to listen to when you're at that peak moment in chasing and pursuing that goal. Anchor it. Anchor the song. Anchor the quote. Anchor the symbol. Anchor it so that when you're not on fire and when you're not focused, you can hit it and go after it. This is the download that you guys will have inside the members area. The left side there is the milestone, then your cornerstone, then your stepping stones, then your tombstones, then your firestones. Now, obviously, everything will not fit on that sheet, but I think you do need to use it to write things out. I believe that there's a great correlation between a physical and mental when we actually write things out. Like, you may keep all of your images on your phone and all your songs on your phone, but still write those down in the firestone areas. Now, every day, you want to review your milestones. You want to remind yourself of your cornerstones. You want to resolve. You want more resolve in your stepping stones. You want to revile and revise your tombstones. So even when you hit that moment of failure, there may be something that you didn't know you were going to come up against. You didn't plan for it. You didn't know it was going to even be there. You didn't know it existed. Suddenly you're up against it. Add it to your tombstone list. Don't simply say, "Whoa, that was hard. I'm going to quit." Say, got to bury this. Got to kill this. Write it down. And then reinforce firestones every single day. Flip through your firestones. Listen to your music. You know, even if you don't need it in that moment, it's good to continue anchoring it. And it's good to keep reminding yourself of it. So every day, review your milestones. Remind your cornerstones. Resolve your stepping stones. Revile and revise your tombstones. And reinforce your firestones. I'm going to bring the Q&A box over and we can